is RSO Boys Are Cold, and you're listening to Monday Night, what is it?
Monday Night Talk.
Oh.
On WATD.
In WATD.
Should just stick to singing songs instead of trying to do intros. What do you think, guys? You are listening to Monday Night Talk. We, of course, want to thank Dave Gosher for joining us for a few minutes, kind of talking about the Boston Bruins. As much as it hurt, it was great talking with him, and we want to thank him for doing it on, you know, at the end of each series and kind of giving us a thought. I was hoping for a little bit of a better conversation, but we all know how last week was. It seemed as though losing to Chicago the way they did on Monday set the tone for the rest of the week. And because of the way last week went, I thought it would be appropriate to contact some of my sports colleagues, one like Jerry Thornton, who's in studio of BarstoolSports.com. You also can hear him just a little bit up the dial when he's on in the afternoons with Felger and Maz, anybody who is a sports person. He's also done stuff for the other sports radio station from time to time, putting stuff up on their website. The great Jerry Thornton. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks, Kevin. I'm pretty much a sports talk prostitute. I will do it anywhere with anybody. The backseat of your car, some dark alley somewhere. You want 10 minutes of hot sports takes, baby. I'm your guy. I don't care how and when. And thank you for having me on after the worst 2 week period in the history of Boston. It started off with Ray Allen winning a ring by hitting a crucial three, and it got worse from there.
Yeah, but he would be, if you would put it in order of the top four, he would probably be the fourth, right?
I mean, it seemed like it wouldn't get any worse than that, you know. But then, and then at some point during the week, you're saying, boy, as bad as things have gotten here, you know, at least nobody killed anybody, and then you can't even say that anymore. So, you know, there's a. If I can just digress a little bit, but I do have a point. I'll get to it eventually. But everything I know about science, I learned from, like most Americans, Morgan Freeman. And on Into the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman, they talk about this multiverse theory of the cosmos that believes that there's an infinite number of universes all existing in parallel at the same time.
Yep. And there's different things happening in each one of those universes,
correct? With an infinite infinite number, there are some things that are, there's a Kevin Tachi somewhere.
That's right.
On one of these universes.
God help
I am married to Tom Brady and we live on a pony farm, which would be the best one. We, in the last 2 weeks, Boston sports fans...
I can't envision that, but I'm sure...
So are you saying that you think a couple of these universes have crossed over?
There's the wormhole theory that sometimes they do interfere, and there are some that are not at all like ours, because again, we're talking an infinite number.
Yes.
And of all those infinite numbers, Boston fans in the last 2 weeks have lived in the worst of all of them.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
There is not a worse universe to be in the last half of June of 2013, and now that we're into July, I can only hope that it turns around.
I would ask you this: if we were to first take a look at probably the biggest news topic when it comes to sports, or the New England area, or anybody who lives in Attleboro, just to speak of, and that is,
I have a cousin who lives in North Attleboro, and they are very adamant about pointing out that there's North Attleboro and then there's Attleboro, and they're two different places. And I couldn't care less. Like, we're outsiders, and it doesn't really matter.
But there's also South Attleboro, too, right?
Is there really?
Is it just North Attleboro, strictly?
See, I don't know, because...
It's beyond me.
Geography isn't my strong point,
lived in a state where the north and south and regular parts of a town have been split up into a...
Right.
Into different towns.
Like, for instance, why is Middleboro not halfway between, like, Westboro and
Southboro?
Eastboro or Southboro, right. It's just Middleboro's down somewhere below all of them. It makes no sense whatsoever.
You know, look, if you want to really get technical, I mean, there was a time when Bridgewater had, you know, you look, there's a West Bridgewater.
And East?
East. And what was North Bridgewater?
I have no idea.
Brockton.
No kidding.
Yes.
Like those... Yeah, like Bridgewater needs suburbs. really. there's cows there. There's dairy farms that make ice cream. But anyway, when there was that scandal a few years ago where the guy went missing at the dominatrix's place and we were all calling Attleboro Paddleboro, my cousin who lives in North Attleboro was adamant about, that's not my town. I live in North. Well, now he's not really talking too much about not a lot of civic pride going on now that there's their most famous resident is apparently Hannibal Lecter.
Mm. And of course, we're talking about Aaron Hernandez, who has been in the news. At least he was in the news most of last week and the week before, folks speculating. I mean, it was a particular time I had a friend who sent me a video who actually drove down Aaron Hernandez's street, and you could see just a row of satellite trucks that were parked on that street waiting for, you know,
something to break.
It was basically, you know, along the lines of what happened during the Boston Marathon when, you know, folks were waiting for that next nugget of news to break. And somebody wanted to break it first. And, you know, when he had the shootout happening up, you had the issue, you know, when everything was winding down in Watertown and they were searching for, you know, that the bombing suspect. It was the same thing where people were trying to be the first person to break the news. And it was like that with the Aaron Hernandez, a 23-year-old guy who was in the prime of his career, just signed
$40 million contract for 5 years.
And I might add I heard $16 million was the bonus, but I've actually heard that it's more $12 million was the guaranteed money that he was getting.
You know what's really crazy? There's two things that blows my mind. The first is that we're talking about a 23-year-old kid that has $40 million.
That would be your older brother.
No, I'm 24.
Oh, okay. So he would be your younger brother.
And the other thing that blows my mind is there was a great infographic that came out right after this happened showing the amount of arrests in the NFL since 2000. And I didn't realize this, but the Patriots have had 15 arrests since 2000. In the team with the most, which I don't want to quote wrong, but I believe it was the Bengals, had 40 arrests since 2000. Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible number. And the Patriots weren't even on the lower end of that. They were right in the mid. They were right up there.
I saw that. They were 24th of 32 teams.
Which is incredible.
The ninth fewest in the league, if you want to look at it that way. The Bengals, if you had told me they had had 40 arrests since Thursday, I would have believed that because it just seems like the Ben jails. It seems like they're constantly having guys picked up. And in fairness, too, some of the Patriots things were some pretty picayune stuff. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Julian Edelman, who supposedly, you know, groped a girl in a nightclub and there was no evidence whatsoever. I mean, you know, Nick Kayser for something. I can't even remember what he did. But yeah, but the Bengals are the ones who pretty much, you know,
they set the mark.
They've got the marital problems, you know, they're the ones that Mr. Hand turns into Mr. Fist and those kind of things. So nothing to be proud of. But this is what happens when the NFL does a lot, invest a lot in making sure these things don't happen. They have rookie symposiums. They meet with these guys. There's counseling. They have a free shuttle service to anyone at any hour of the night can call, and the NFL will pick you up and take your drunken, sorry butt home and tuck you to bed. And still...
Correct.
Still this happens.
Yeah, and they're told, and I mean, I saw a clip on that where when they're at these symposiums, they're told, be careful with your money. Buy a modest house, not a bleeping mansion. Buy, you know, live within your means. Be smart. Do they heed what they're being told and warned?
No.
Sometimes.
Well, you know what's interesting? There's another thing that's going on that we're not as aware of, and that is the amount of professional football and other players that go bankrupt after in their duration of either duration of playing or afterwards. It's something huge like 60% go bankrupt after they're done playing or while they're playing. It's incredible.
If you guys haven't seen it, I can't recommend it enough.
On ESPN, 30 for 30, yeah.
Sure. About the... just these people telling the stories and these guys that just...
The Latrell Sprewell.
Antoine Walker, who wasn't a part of it, but they discussed him. Andre Rison was really telling, like talking about how...
Well, the girlfriend burned the house down, yeah.
Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Yes. I know you're a huge TLC.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go chasing waterfalls, Kevin.
hey, wait, fans are kind of mad because they remade that with some Japanese singer, you know.
No, really?
We'll talk about
see,
that.
No
later.
Scrubs. Scrub is a kind of guy can't get no love from me. And he talked about how...
She's bringing Pepper in on this conversation. She probably knows a couple of the songs, too.
Probably not like I do, but... Rison talked about how you're competitive about how big your entourage is. Like, that becomes a status thing. He describes going out to clubs with like 30 people. He didn't know. But the
almost
the,
like he's part boxer.
Yeah.
Yes. The and the guy that
boxers have the entourages, right?
Out of more than anybody was Sean Salisbury. Now, everyone in your listening audience is going, Who on God's earth is Sean Salisbury? He was a backup quarterback with the Vikings, who I remember him because I had like Randall Cunningham on my fantasy pool. And when he got hurt, I just picked up his backup. Years later, Sean Salisbury surfaces as the host of a Comedy Central show called Battle Bots that my kids liked, where it's just robots just slugging it out.
Isn't Chris Jericho? Isn't he hosting something like that right now?
Yeah, well, this can't be the same Sean Salisbury. You know, he talked about getting a $100,000 American Express bill one month. You're Sean Salisbury. You're not LeBron James. You're not Kevin Garnett, who basically is minting money. You're a backup quarterback for the Vikings, you know?
Well, now is the time for us to bring in our other expert. She is known. She was at one particular time somebody who did some sports. I believe she was on CSN Sports here in the Boston area. Also was on. She has her own website, pepperonsports.com. We have Jackie Pepper joining us. I believe she's somewhere out in Los Angeles, but I could be wrong. Jackie, are you there?
Hey guys, how are you?
How goes the battle? Now, I gotta ask, how many TLC songs do you know?
Oh, the entire catalog, obviously.
We are so doing karaoke one of these nights, Jackie. Jackie, yeah. Jerry Thornton. I used to be on you with your Kevin show with you. We met a few times over the air. It's great to talk to you again.
You too. It's been a long time. I'm so happy to hear from you guys.
Now, see, the cool thing is we've seen you a couple of times. I believe you've been on a couple of times on, is it Headline News? Is it CNN? What have you been on a couple of times recently?
Yeah. I am on Showbiz Tonight on HLN, which is CNN's sister news network. I do that show probably every other week because there's always something big happening in sports that even people in the showbiz world want to talk about. So I'm their go-to sports analyst. So that's great. I've been able to do CNN, Fox News, some radio shows. I've had a lot of great opportunities lately. You guys included, obviously.
Well, I have to ask you, I'm sure you have had a chance to kind of digest and take a look at what has happened on a number of fronts here in the Boston area, whether it's Aaron Hernandez and the New England Patriots situation, whether it's the Boston Bruins losing a chance at a game 7 in 17 seconds on Monday, whether it was Ray Allen winning a ring with another team other than the Boston Celtics, or what else? Am I leaving anything out here?
I don't think so.
The Red Sox are in first place.
Nobody's talking about that.
They got to be sitting there going, what are we going to do to grab a headline around here? Who do we have to kill?
Well, let's not forget the L.A. Clippers now have a coach named Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers. There you go. The Celtics.
It's so great to have him here. It's like a little piece of Boston has come my way. I think the Clippers are a great fit for Doc and vice versa. I mean, this guy, he can coach anybody, and he seems to have the magic touch. Obviously, the Celtics were a sinking ship. Danny Ainge made that pretty clear by disposing of all of the key pieces. But I think Doc will be great here in L.A., and I think his defensive presence will really help the Clippers take things to the next level. DeAndre Jordan, I mean, he's a great defender, obviously. But, A, he could be better, and B, he needs to get his offense going more. So hopefully some of Doc's fellow assistants can help with that.
And you know what, Jackie, my take, the NBA is such a player-driven league that it's really not so much about X's and O's. And I put Doc's against anybody's, but it really is about managing people. And I just don't think there's anyone in the game who's better than him. I would say he's not only the best interview in Boston, he might be the best interview in Boston like ever. Oh, maybe you'd have to go back to like Auerbach or something, just for a guy who's articulate, who gives you honest answers, but he never says anything that he has to walk back. You know, he never says anything that blows up in his face like a cartoon cigar like so many other coaches do.
But how does this affect Doc Rivers as a coach going forward after what he just did? He had a 3-year $7 million, it was a $21 million contract that he was still in but yet opted. He was going to opt out. He probably would have went back to TV. Do you think he would have came back to Boston? Or do you think that he was going to walk away and hopefully something would have been ironed out for him to go to another franchise?
You know, I think Danny wasn't going to accept 50 cents on the dollar for him. He set his price, and more power to him, he stuck with it. And he would have brought him back if he needed to, but, you know, he didn't need to. But as far as what it does to Doc, it's a mercenary business. Nobody cares. You know, college coaches do this stuff constantly, and there's all the hand-wringing and gnashing of teeth, and then the guy goes there, and he's welcome with open arms, and they love him. Just like Doc, I imagine they're thrilled in L.A. to get him.
Jackie, what do you think?
I saw somebody recently, and I can't remember if it was on Twitter, if it was on TV, if it was an athlete, or if it was some other celebrity, but they said something really important, which, you know, I mean, I've been hating on LeBron James for a long, long time, long before the decision, might I add. But that to me solidified the fact that I thought he was kind of a cocky little baby, and the national media had not picked up on it and had let him slide for years and years on it until that happened. And then everyone seemed to know what I had felt, that he was kind of a punk. But this point that was brought up was, would any of us in our, quote, normal lives, would anyone penalize us for taking a better job and making our own personal situation better? Like, if you left this, you know, radio show and went to another one that was going to pay you more and give you a better time slot, would anybody be upset with you if you left your insurance job for a better job? No one's going to hate on you. And I thought that was actually pretty important. But obviously, with sports, it's a different ballgame because it's a publicly consumed occupation. The public in part pays for your payroll as a player or a coach, and people have a sense of ownership, even if it's false. So I don't fault Doc at all, and it seems like there are conflicting reports as to whether, you know, Danny had mentioned to him, hey, if you want to go, why don't you just go, versus Doc being the one to completely initiate this trade.
Well, do you feel that maybe LeBron James might have set a precedent by doing, I mean, he got together with, you know, Dwayne Wade, and was like, "Hey, let's build, you know, let's get a little group of our own big three together and win a champion. Not one, not two, not three, you know." And it seems
you're right. It did go beyond the decision itself. I think that was like the first domino to fall. Mm. Then, obviously, with the pep rally they had for themselves, which was just ridiculous. They really made their bed. So I don't feel bad for those guys at that point. I do think they've all, that group specifically, I think they have matured. And listen, they weren't the first big three. The Boston big three was before them, and there were other big threes even before them. Mm. So I think they did take somewhat of an unfair degree of heat, no pun intended, until that pep rally. And that just set everything in motion. And they learned a tough lesson that year, didn't they? But they made the best out of it in the end, I think.
To your point about people bettering themselves, I would sell Kevin Tarchi to Al-Qaeda to improve my lot in life.
I would
sleep like a baby, Kevin. But but you're right. The LeBron is loathsome. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone, with the exception of ESPN and by extension ABC, has caught on to that. And in their world, he still can do no wrong. But I think he damaged himself for good.
You know, if you look at the times that he said me in the post interviews of that game, it's sickening compared to, say, like when Chicago won hockey, they all talked about we as a team.
We, and they also put something, and we should probably digress to that in a moment, they even put something in the Boston Globe thanking not only the Boston area, but thanking the Boston Bruins for putting on such a great series.
Yeah.
So what do you guys expect from a guy who was already on ESPN in prime time when he was a junior in high school? Yeah. I mean, if you look, I think Kevin Garnett is a rare exception to the rule of guys who come out of high school to become professional athletes. KG conducted himself very well coming out at that age, which is fine, but almost nobody else did. Look at Kobe. I mean, I obviously have a different view of Kobe than you guys, being an LA native and just loving him from a fan perspective, it took him 10 years to mature, probably even more than 10 years. I mean, he was a little baby for the first 10 years in the pros, because when everyone hands you everything at such a young age and you have no men in your life, everybody's a yes man, this is just, you know, par for the course. And I think LeBron was a victim of that, and not that it's not his fault. I mean, why didn't KG act that way? You know, who knows, environmental reasons or whatnot, but it's to be expected.
Let's kind of segue from that. That's a good segue, talking about behavior and looking what's going on with Aaron Hernandez. Who here was not shocked when we first started hearing that there was a body found down the street from Aaron Hernandez's house? And going, and then knowing that there was a vehicle that was rented in his name there, and that he wasn't cooperating with police, and it seemed like every news story got worse and worse. Oh, they might arrest this. There's supposedly an arrest warrant for obstruction of justice.
You know.
Oh wait, they just pulled 15 bags of evidence out of his place.
You know, anytime you hand, like I said earlier, a 23-year-old $40 million and set them out in the world with a long off season, you're going to have trouble. You know, I don't want to bring it to NASCAR, but I'm going to use that as a quick example.
Please don't go
but
there.
But you look at the world of racing, and in the last, and we talked about statistics in terms of arrests in the NFL. If you look in the same duration of time, I think there's been a total of 3 in the last 10 years in racing. But the point
I've
I'm making.
I've seen a helmet of tooth thrown in NASCAR.
Listen,
wait a minute.
They're harder to catch. They can outrun the police.
This is my point, is that those guys walk into a race not knowing whether they're making money or not. There's no contracts that are signed. They walk out of a race based on where they finish. That's how much money they're making, and they don't get those lump sums, those contracts that we see a lot of these other guys walk into. My point is being, comparing the two, is simply that when you have someone basically guaranteed a large amount of money, and we see
because
this
only
through
guaranteed,
a lot of it,
I believe, $12 to $16 million, and I believe that a part of that, and that's something that would be matriculated over the lifetime of the contract.
Yeah, but you're still talking about more money than you and I will ever see in our
but
lifetime.
But he just got this. This isn't like that. He had already gotten a big contract before that. He was just
That's
living.
Fine.
He was he was getting an, you know, basically an increase from his rookie contract, which wasn't much, and he was actually supposedly happy to be getting the, you know, $200,000, $300,000.
Yeah, but he's
that
taking,
he was getting, and you get the bonuses for showing up for OTAs and doing stuff like that.
But he's taking all this money. He's going into Boston to the clubs, which is what we saw him coming back from, apparently in an argument, right? He was coming back from Boston, I believe, is the night before the night that he was killed. And, I mean, an endless – he really had his anything that he wanted –
guys, you can't say that every young millionaire is bound to, you know, go in this direction. Listen, if what Aaron is accused of doing, if it's true, if he did do it, this was going to happen, rich or not, and it probably would have happened much sooner had he not been rich. I mean, if he was involved in this murder, Odin Lloyd murder, and in the double murder previously, the guy's a sociopath. So, and I don't think that has to do with money. I think money enables certain things. Yeah. It probably enables a double murder to go unsolved for almost an entire year because you were able to rent a car instead of your own car being involved, so on and so forth. I think money enables those things. But it sounds like the people that he trusted most, the ones who were doing his alleged dirty work for him, these were not people he met once he became rich and famous. These were people
he ran
from
with.
Good old hometown.
Yep.
Who he knew way before the money became an issue. And this is obviously, I mean, this is a once-in-a-generation type of thing that we're seeing here. You know, Ray Caruth, OJ, this doesn't happen every day in pro sports, thank God.
And, you know, Jackie, before you came on, we were talking about this in terms of the ESPN show, the 30 for 30, about guys going broke. And one of the dynamics that is consistent throughout that is these guys come into money, and their older friends now become hangers-on, or they start hearing from cousins they didn't know existed. There's one of the guys, and I can't remember who he was, talked about I had relatives who knew when NFL payday was better than me. I'd come out to my car and there'd be someone waiting for me. And when you blow out your ACL and you're cut the next year, these people are nowhere to be seen. Right. And it sounds like that's the kind of crowd that Hernandez was running with. Just
and let me tell you one anecdote from my time in Boston. I was in a nightclub one time, and there were several New England Patriots players in the nightclub. And I saw one of them who, he wasn't a younger player, so that might explain what happened. But he was dancing with his friends, having a good time, and this drunk, random dude out of nowhere, for no reason, went up to him and put his hands on the player and said, "What are you going to do about it?" The guy got in his face and tried to fight him. And this player literally just stood there. He let the guy push him. He didn't say a word. He just stood there and kept his mouth closed. This guy came back four times and tried to start a fight with him. And the guy said, "I'm not fighting you. I'm not fighting you.
And that's how you become a veteran, by having the smarts to do what he did.
You know? But you know how difficult that is to do?
Right.
I mean, I was shocked and I was very impressed. And I said to the guy, I said, "Why don't you just leave?" He said, "This happens everywhere. This is just the way it goes, especially in a small town like Boston when you're a Patriots player." When I heard about the whole nightclub incident, when that became a part of the story, that's the first thing I thought of. And I thought, oh, my God. I mean,
when I was a kid, I grew up in Weymouth, and something similar happened with Andre Tippett, who was a black belt, and leveled the guy. And what first sounded like it might be a scandal, everyone who read the story said, "Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what happened. This guy deserved it." and Tippett was treated like a hero for it. God bless him.
But it's funny you mention that, because if you look at the Aaron Hernandez, when it was early that the case was forming against him in regards to the Odin Lloyd homicide, there was reports coming out that there was an incident that had taken place that involved a gun. The way some news stations tried to break it was like, you know, that somehow Aaron had something to do with it. Come to find out, when the story was kind of told, was that Aaron Hernandez was facing similar scrutiny, where there was a New York Jets fan who was taunting him over and over and over. And police took notice, tried to intervene, and somewhere down the line, somebody who was affiliated with the guy who was taunting Aaron Hernandez, threw a gun under a vehicle or something in that fashion. And, you know, you thought, here it is, you know, he got involved with something else. No, he was just at a nightclub. I would think, now this is somebody who has, Aaron Hernandez, who, you know, has a baby mama. He has a small child. You would think, I know he's 23, that you have all this money, you have a lucrative contract, you have been invested in by the New England Patriots, you have a chance, possibly, and you've got a small window, hopefully, depending on how Tom's arm holds out and the wide receiver core will come together, if it'll come together, that maybe you might make it to another big game and be on the big stage once again come, you know, the first week of February, to throw it all away by killing a guy down the street from your house, or being involved in an incident where someone is found dead down the street and you've destroyed evidence. And according to the assistant district attorney in Bristol County, kind of laid it all out, where they kind of got him dead to right. Sure, it's circumstantial, you know, a lot of the evidence is circumstantial, but they got him from the Bubblicious gum. They didn't find the gun, but they found the gum.
Yeah, the smoking gum.
They found a .45 caliber shell under the seat of the rental car. They've matched the tire tracks to the rental vehicle that was seen coming and going from video surveillance, that they've got it, they've tracked him. Pinging of the cell phones. I'm kind of wondering how there's going to be a Ray Lewis moment here, that he's going to get out of this.
Listen, at this point, you could connect him to any crime, and I'd believe it. With a rented vehicle, like if I found out his limo had Casey Anthony's baby in it, and he had a U-Haul outside of JonBenet Ramsey's house, and they found his gum in the book depository, I'd believe it. Like, at this point, he has no credibility with me. That went out the window within hours.
Jackie, your thoughts?
Well, two things. First of all, I just had this conversation in the CNN headquarters, 2 days ago when
about
I was over
Casey
there
Anthony's
doing
baby?
Their show. True. No. we were talking about the fact that it seemed, and actually, I was talking to an actor who was going to be on a different CNN show, and he said to me, I have no pity for these guys, these athletes who get everything and throw it all away. And this is a guy who came from, you know, humble beginnings, and he's made a name for himself, and he's become successful, and he's young. He's 21 years old, this guy, and he's like, I have no pity for him. And I said, but you have to look at it this way. It is, I said, are you still friends with people from back home? Well, yeah. Okay, it's easy to think to us who aren't in that position. It's easy to think like, oh, if I got everything handed to me, if I made all this money, I would do whatever it took to keep it. I would get rid of everybody, all the hangers-on, blah, 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 blah. But you can't just change your lifestyle instantly. We're humans. We're not robots. We have emotions. We have patterns. We have history. Mm. So I really believe Aaron when he made comments at various times in the last year saying that he knew that this was a great opportunity for him, that he wanted to change things, that he couldn't be reckless anymore, that he needed to be a good example to his newborn child at the time. I believed him when he said those things, and I think he wanted that to be true. But some people just can't save themselves from themselves. Look at a guy like Pac-Man Jones or the late Chris Henry. These are prime examples of guys who had it all, threw it all away because they were their own worst enemies. It's not science. We're human.
How do you guys feel about the Patriots' chances? I mean, do you think right now Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft are going, oh my goodness, what are we going to do here? We don't, you know, as it is, it's tough to kind of keep, you know, kind of keep things contained. I mean, you got Tim Tebow who just joined the team, which, you know, would, you know, they were able to quell any kind of media that might have been surrounded by that to have this happen. I mean, how do you feel that this team rebounds from this?
I think knowing these guys and their personalities, you know, I think they're going to be okay. I'm not worried about them mentally, really, because they are, that team is just kind of on a different level, at least from upper management and ownership on down. Obviously, the players have to accept the mentality that is taught to them in the meeting room and in the locker rooms and whatnot. But I don't think this is going to be that big of a deal. I really think it hurts more to lose Aaron Hernandez, and when you have Rob Gronkowski suffering a myriad of injuries, that's going to be a huge problem. I think it affects them more in Aaron's absence than mentally speaking.
Jerry?
I think, Lord knows Belichick has many geniuses in my eyes, and I have the restraining orders to prove it.
Yes.
I'm a big admirer of his, and I think if he has one genius that's above all the others, it's the ability to take distractions and either deflect them or use them as an asset. And
right. That's
what this one will be. I mean, you go back 12 years with sure. This. I mean, you could go back to the Brady Bledsoe controversy. That was huge. He just completely diffused the situation. Lawyer Malloy getting cut. Ty Law, I'll call him a liar. He ignored that. Spygate. What was bigger than Spygate? And every one of those players on that team will tell you to a person, sure. They use that as fuel to give this us against the world mentality. So I think yep. Mentally, yes, this is going to be fine for them. But
and look how the Patriots rebounded when Tom Brady went down. They yeah. Made Matt Cassel look like freaking, you know, a Pro Bowl player. And I think this team historically does respond well to diversity, like you said.
Right. And as far as him on the field, you know what? I wrote this whole thing on Barstool, and I imagine we don't have time to get into it, but just the basic premise being, and Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Facts, our
love
pal,
Kerry.
Has backed
this
up.
So.
Yes, that the wide receiver position, and from the purpose of this, I'll talk about Hernandez as a receiver, not so much a tight end, is the most overvalued position in all of sports. They have people on the roster that can do this. Football is ultimately about who's throwing the ball, not who's catching it. And I could do an hour on this, but I think he's replaceable. He is the cemeteries are filled with indispensable people.
But the Patriots changed. They're not just any other team yep. Filling the tight end position. They changed that mentality by putting Gronk and Hernandez together because they could.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can't, so they're going to have to go back to the way they did things before. But I don't think that's entirely true. I see the idea and the philosophy behind that statement. But I think the Patriots proved that that doesn't have to be the case, that you can, you know, get to the Super Bowl heavily on the backs of tight ends, which who knew, right?
And they won Super Bowls with Jermaine Wiggins, Rod Rutledge, Christian Fourier. I can go on.
Got a joke quickly.
Jerry, can we get into the Hernandez tight end jokes, or are we going to leave
those
for another
time?
I was the first to declare a moratorium on that wide receiver one.
We got 1 minute left. What do you got working, Jackie, on your website?
Well, today I just put out a blog about Serena Williams and the fact that I think
she went down.
She will not. What?
She went down to Wimbledon, right?
I wish I did. No, I watched from my couch.
No. I said that she lost in Wimbledon. Oh, she's, you know, yes. All the top seeds are falling.
Did. That is correct. And I believe that at the end of the day, when we look at her career, the 2013 Wimbledon Serena Williams story will not be about her losing in the fourth round as the heavy favorite, but instead about her controversial comments and her nastiness towards other women that we've seen in the last few weeks.
Joe, what are you guys working?
I got nothing to plug. I'm good. I'm good. Right. Just the next time
Jackie,
I come back here, Phil.
And Jerry, I want to thank both of you for being on the show. That's all we got. That's it for Monday Night Talk. Have a great evening.
Good night.